Today's episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Beachbody On Demand. Get a free trial membership of Beachbody On Demand by texting the word Rob to 303030 and start streaming over 600 workouts on just about any device you have with a screen and start working out from the comfort of your own home with Beachbody On Demand. Just text the word Rob to 303030 and enjoy a free trial membership to Beachbody On Demand.
Check it out.
Josh.
Yeah.
We back
in the wiggle realm.
Yes.
Yes.
Here yes. to learn from our past mistakes in the wiggle room. And boy, do we hear about them.
We are not starting off on this note, Rob. Take it back. We are not starting off by abusing ourselves for bringing the joy of the wand off into everybody's lives.
That was
not a bad decision. It will not haunt me forever. It was a glorious decision, and it shall continue for all of time.
Okay, here we are back in the Survivor Wiggle Room. Of course, this podcast is the brainchild of this beautiful genius that we're speaking to, Josh Wiggler, who went on location to Fiji and has lots of stories about the Survivor premiere, which we'll get into. Plus, we will talk about his passion project, First One Out, which the final episode dropped the other day. We'll have a lot to talk about there. And then at the end of the show, the last thing we'll do, so if you don't want to hear it, you can check out if you'd like. We will get into this season's first wand off of the year.
First wand out.
First wand out of yes. the year, Josh yes. Wiggler. And this, of course, is the final Survivor podcast of my week. And so we'll close the book. We'll look back
what
at everything
week,
that happened.
By the way.
What a
great week.
Week.
Great week in podcasting. You had the great fake Tony himself, Joe Men, although I hear that's triggering for him. So I'm sorry, Joe.
He doesn't like that.
Some great Randy Bailey piece between House Sesternino and House Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Randy never eats candy, Bailey.
Yeah, he does not. He does not want any gummies. And Josh, would you be interested? Would you go get gummies with me?
Oh, I thought you were going to say with Randy. I was going to be like, of course, that sounds fun. But yeah, I guess I'd get candy with you.
Yeah, not candy, gummies. Tyson would be the best guy for gummies. He's a big gummy guy.
Big gummy guy, so I've heard. What's your if we were gonna split candy, how would that go for us? Like what are your inclinations in a scenario like that?
Like what's my favorite candy or how would I be
sharing? With sharing, I mean you're a very gracious, generous guy, so I assume that's not an issue.
Yeah.
But what is your preference for candy types?
Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah, we're compatible. This'll yes. work. This'll be
yeah,
great.
And there's yeah. two of them in the package, so that's fine. That's the easy one to share. Not like
we're
a big cat bar. You got to break it.
Yeah,
half.
We're gonna get more than one Reese's pack.
We'll
right?
get the king size. We'll get the
king size. Yeah. We got to get two each for sure.
Okay. So so much to get into. Anyway, happy to have you guys here. Of course, Josh. Do you want to sort of frame the types of things we're gonna look at in the Wiggle Room here this season for the new listeners of the podcast, and also the friends and loved ones of the players of the podcast that are listening to Survivor Podcast for the first time this week?
Yeah, I mean, so at this point in the week, you know, we're dropping these on Tuesdays and the show airs on Wednesday nights. It's a pretty tight turnaround if you're listening to a Wiggle Room.
I'll get it up
stale.
Monday night if I can help it.
If you can help it, that sounds lovely. But, you know, it loses its cycle fairly quickly. And at this point in the week, you've already talked strategy through and at such a deep level with so many people. So this tends to be a little bit of a goofier show where we're kind of talking a little bit more about story. We're talking more about characters. We, of course, have this thing at the end of the Wiggle Room called the Wand Off, which is basically a song parody tournament, which has proven to be divisive, divisive. believe. It has proven to be controversial, but you and I tend to really enjoy it, and we resurrect Casey Kasem for it, and like it's a very, very weird, ridiculous thing that brings a lot of joy and laughter into our lives. So that's basically the structure of the Wiggle Room. Because I was out there on location, and I've got a lot of quotes from some of these players from the preseason, I think we'll try and pull in some quotes when relevant. Maybe not this week, since there is, first one out did end so recently, and all of that is very fresh, but I think moving forward, that'll be a really fun element that we can introduce here. The occasional guest, maybe, as well. You think that covers it? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think we got it. I hope you guys end up sitting back and enjoying this podcast. Just to tell you guys a little bit about what is to come in this podcast, and I will do my best to put this all in the show notes for you in case people are particularly predisposed to jump to one spot, skip another part of the podcast if they so choose. So normally we'll talk about Survivor first, and then we'll get into the wand off. But today we're going to talk about the episode and talk about everything, all of our observations, anything that we have yet not spoken about. And Josh and I have not really done any sort of, extensive conversating about the episode yet to this date. And then we'll get into everything from the episode. And then we're going to talk a lot about First One Out and sort of how that all came together. So when we get to the part where we're going to talk about First One Out, we will try to keep that as its own self-contained piece. So if you are either still going to listen to First One Out and do not want to be spoiled about anything First One Out.
Such a ridiculous thing to say, but I mean, it's true. Like, if you haven't listened to it yet and like you've wanted to listen to it and you've been putting it off, you won't want to hear what Rob and I are talking about at that point.
Okay. Or if you, for whatever reason, listened to First One Out and don't want to hear any more about it, it was maybe you loved it so much and it's like, you know what, it was fine and I don't want to hear anything else about it. Want to skip to the wand off? We'll have all of those time codes available for you in the podcast description and on robhasawebsite.com.
All right. Sounds like it's all been laid out. So no complaints. We will not get any complaints. All of the tweets will be very polite and respectful in the discourse.
Yes. Okay. All right. Josh, so you have been out there on location for a couple of these now. Was it three or four times you've been out there?
I think, yeah, Ghost Island was my fourth.
So when you are out there, are you able to sort of line up what you're seeing with like how exciting of a premiere episode it's going to be?
I used to think so, but I don't know anymore in terms of, because it's tough, because a lot of things you'll see, what you do see when you're out there in my position is you see the opening, you see the show open, you see, about an hour of each tribe in their natural habitat when you go and you visit them on the second day of the game, and then you get to witness the first immunity challenge, and then you get to witness the first tribal council. So you're getting like, you know, kind of the big major beats of what is going to occur in the episode. The big kind of gray area ends up being the camp life stuff. While you get like a slice of it, it's like an amuse-bouche. It's like the it's like the olive and yogurt sauce on the spoon, and then like you don't get the rest of the meal and you go home a little bit hungry, but you could tell it was going to be a tasty dinner. And so a lot of that stuff like comes as a surprise, and you don't really know what's going on there, even if you hear like a little bit of whispers of what seems to be happening and what the narrative seems to be shaping up to be. And then you see an unedited tribal council, which to me is always incredibly exciting. They go on a lot longer than you see on the show. And sometimes you really see a very, a rendition of it that's very faithful to what you witnessed. And then other times you see a version of it that is definitely still true to what you witnessed, but it's like there's some curious exclusions. The Triple H Tribal Council is the one that I'm thinking of the most, where there was a lot more action there than I felt like we saw in the actual premiere. All of that being said, with Ghost Island specifically, a lot was happening out there that was surprising me already based on how the preseason had gone and based on how things had gone with talking through the game and what their plans were and what they were thinking and how they were feeling with some of these people, specifically like Jacob. The whole arc with him was a big shock, and I was only there through Gonzalez's exit from the game. But, you know, everybody who was watching from the press side, we all walked out of there kind of feeling like Jacob really dodged a bullet by getting sent to Ghost Island, and he's got a lot of work cut out for him if he's going to make it much further. And of course, he did not make it much further at all.
Were you surprised when you were at the first tribal council that it was Gonzalez who was the first person to go home? Did you have any sort of inkling before you got to tribal?
No, and I was really bummed about it. I really, really enjoyed Gonzalez in the preseason. She was really funny. She seemed like she had a really good head on her shoulders about the game. And if she really got, her footing, that she could really make some noise and really do some damage. And, you know, in retrospect, you know, these things are, you're so present in the moment for these interviews and then watching the show unfold in front of your eyes that you can forget some details pretty quickly. So for me, I didn't have it in front of me, like the transcript of how everybody felt about each other. So for me, like I hadn't really kept in mind that Gonzalez had been, not very warmly received by a lot of the people in the game in terms of the first impressions. So that wasn't even on my mind. All that was on my mind was like, I had a great conversation with her and I thought that she was very warm and funny and smart, and deceptively smart and potentially really someone to look out for in the game. Much like you in your assessment, Rob, like I really thought that Gonzalez could go far. So when it started to turn at Tribal Council, and you could feel that moment where it's like, oh God, it's going to be Gonzalez. That was tough. That was sad. I was really bummed out about it. Sad. Very sad.
Sad.
Yeah, but a lot of where I got my strong feelings about her was listening to her rapport with you, and I felt like that she was one of the people that really stood out in her conversation with you, and I felt like that she was going to be so much fun, and I thought that she really seemed like she knew what she was talking about, but alas, and you know, it doesn't mean that she didn't, but for whatever reason, she got off on the wrong foot with this group of people that she was out there with, and I don't know if I've given you enough credit for this, but one of the things I've really spent a lot of time examining here in this preseason was the work that you did between First One Out and also written out in your THR articles was right. What the rest of the field was saying about this person and people that were not really giving off that great first impression. I really started to penalize a little bit in terms of my rankings just because I thought that was an important thing. And I went back and I read what you wrote that people said about Ben going into Survivor 35, and they loved Ben going into Survivor 35.
Yeah, and even Dr. Mike there, he called his shot that this guy is the most dangerous player in the game. So, you know, I don't think that the first impressions... It's interesting. I don't think that the first impressions necessarily are going to tell you where the game is going to go. There's a lot of ironic stuff in there that's always really fun to look back on. But like take somebody like Jacob, for example, who not only were his reads on the players, I thought that he was really astute, not a scoot. I thought that he really had his fingers on the pulse of who a lot of these people were. And then it worked out the way that it worked out for him, which was doubly surprising to me, considering like this was something that I definitely remembered even in the moment that he was loved. Like these people really thought that he seemed funny. He seemed fun. He seemed like somebody that you would want to spend time with, though a lot of people being like, that guy clearly knows the game. I think it's Dominic or Dominic, depending on how you want to pronounce the name. That Dominic, I think, was the guy who said that guy was born on Survivor Island. Like this guy walked up to Ponderosa like he was strolling through the gates of heaven. And so I think he projected that. I don't know how instructive that's going to be to tell you that this is a guy who's going to go home early necessarily, rather than it's just like a correct observation. But a bunch of people had that. The one with Gonzalez, I think is interesting. And like, I'm almost reluctant to point this out because if I'm so lucky enough to go back out to location and do this again and do these first impressions again, I do think that there's a little bit of a tell for the first boot. And I do think that like, if you look at, you know, Katrina Radke, you know, I did the format of my articles on THR are pretty similar to how I did them for this season. That if you look at some of those first impressions, there's, you know, a mixture of positive and negative, but probably skewing negative. And similar with Gonzalez. And even if I'm digging back in the memory banks of Game Changers, I think a lot of people talking about like, I don't know that I want Sierra to be out here for too long. So I don't know how much first impressions matter in the long run, but maybe the turnkey for the preseason stuff is I do think that it gives you an indication of who might go first. because I think that there is such a feeling of, I don't know, like no one wants to be the first one out. No one wants to be the first one sent home. And so there is kind of this extra level of panic involved in that vote. And I think especially on this one that we just saw, when Jacob is sent to Ghost Island and he was a slam dunk decision to go home first, had he not been sent to Ghost Island, Malolo must have been really in panic mode. And, you know, really the impression that I got from watching that full tribal council is that Gonzalez went on a walk right before everyone went for tribal, and it was decided that she should go. And it was really, it was a decision that was handled that swiftly, you know, probably because she is dangerous and somebody that, you know, you want to you want to get rid of before she becomes too much of a problem. But it really was as simple as like she wasn't there. Everybody else was there for the conversation. Lock it up. Let's go. So I don't know. I think that that's the danger of the first impressions. I think that's the most telling thing about the first impressions, is that I do think it gives you a little bit of a roadmap of who might be in trouble really, really early on.
Josh, in First One Out, you talked about how Libby was somebody who, you know, you're really taken aback by how stone cold she was at that first tribal council. That did not really play in the episode.
Right.
Could you expand a little bit more on what you saw from Libby?
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's like that thing where like everybody in the room knows something that only one person doesn't know. And that one person starts to figure out what that thing is, and that it is not in their interest. And everybody else, as it is heating up and as that level of awareness is increasing, they're all going to be looking all over the place, looking at their feet, looking at the sky, you know, trying to non-answer their way through the awkwardness. Of all of these people on the Malolo tribe that were present at that tribal council, only one person was looking at Gonzalez every single time Gonzalez had something to say. And it was the person who was sitting, I believe, right next to her, or at least very close to her. And that would be Libby. And Libby would just like have this look where she would just like very casually and calmly, you know, turn her head, and, you know, her posture perfect, and just stare at Gonzalez completely without any emotion whatsoever, full poker face on display, as Gonzalez would talk about seemingly innocuous things without any knowledge that she was in trouble. And then things started to take that turn where Gonzalez is figuring out, oh, I think I might be in danger here. And even still, Libby is just looking at her directly the entire time, very stoic. That to me is somebody who is like very frightening to play against potentially, is the person who is about to stab you in the back and has no problem looking you dead in the eye before she turns around and stabs you in the back. So that whole performance, knowing what was coming towards Gonzalez as it clearly was starting to take a turn, like midway through that tribal council, you just knew that this was going to be the person who was going home. That performance from Libby was really, really frightening for me. Very spooky, appropriately enough.
And did that read to you as this is a player to watch out for, or this is somebody who is just not going to play nice?
The first thing, I think that that's the reason why she is so scary, is because I think that she's very outwardly friendly. She's very sweet. I thought that we had pretty good rapport in that preseason interview as well. And she strikes me as the type of player, especially given the youth of the cast, as somebody who can really make friends and really play a strong social game, and also have that willingness to just like slice, you know, to just like really dig the knife in where necessary. So like if we're talking about like the experience that I had out there, I definitely walked away feeling like she could really be a killer. If we're talking about the experience I had watching the show, it's like, where is that? You know, there's none of that here on the show. So I wonder where they're going with her in terms of how well Libby is going to do in the game in the weeks ahead. But just in terms of like leaving the preseason, and leaving that first tribal council, she had to be really high up there on the list of people that I was impressed by.
Okay, so of course, anybody who has listened to First One Out, Season 2, Ghost Zero, knows that you actually spent a night on Ghost Island. Now,
it was really triggering to watch Jacob and Donathan out there, to be honest. It was very much like, get out of my house! What are you doing? I left that thing right there for a reason! Don't move that! just like very upsetting, very, very upsetting.
Did you have an idea of how the mechanics of Ghost Island would work after being there for a night?
Not in terms of, no, not really. So like, you know, so if you didn't listen to it, basically, so I was sent out to Ghost Island to do an overnight and test it out. And I had like a challenge that I had to do, which was this fire making challenge. No spoilers on how it turned out. And I had to do this thing. And if I was able to make fire with Flint, I would be able to win a reward. And if I wasn't able to make fire with Flint, I would basically get, you know, if you've got the buzzer handy, you know, that's basically all that I would have gotten. Zilch, in other words. But I didn't know how that would manifest for the other players. I was very intentionally left in the dark in terms of what the experience was going to be for the game before I headed out to Ghost Island. And even after I came back, you know, Jeff Probst and Matt Van Wagenen and everyone involved in the show, they've really been keeping sort of like the concepts that are in play at Ghost Island pretty close to the chest. And I found out about, I don't know if we have a name for like the apparatus that you have to like hammer the tubes. I think we got to come up with some sort of like universally accepted name for that thing. And I'm shrugging my shoulders, coming up empty.
It's like a xylophone.
Yeah, the ghost xylophone. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so the ghost xylophone I started to hear about a little bit after Jacob had been sent there. And actually, it was like our last day on location. I did an interview with Matt Van Wagenen and started hearing whispers about what he had gotten into there. So that was really the first time that I had heard it in terms of like, you hammer this thing and it tells you if there's a game or if there's no game. The interesting thing I'll say is, so I knew what Jacob's game was, and that it was basically a 50-50 chance, and he's putting his vote on the line with no guarantee of winning the game, and leaving aside the fact that he gets something that is of no use to him directly, mm-hmm. or at least in terms of any sense of urgency, I thought it was really interesting that it was this game of 50-50 chance, and that especially pinged on my radar after the marble draw, mm-hmm. in Survivor 35, when the loved ones visit comes down to a game of 50-50 chance. And I know that that has been like crucified at the time of that episode's airing, of some people saying like that is the single worst challenge ever. And I've heard nothing of the sort involving what Jacob had gotten into here on Ghost Island. I wonder, like, do you see like any comparisons, any points of comparisons between the two challenges? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's an astute observation to sort of link the two, but I think that because this is a new thing and that this is Ghost Island and we don't really have time built in the show for like another like solo challenge, and I don't know who necessarily would referee it, if it's some sort of like, you know, build this house of cards, you have 1 minute, you know, are we watching a whole challenge play? I think you need something that's going to be sort of like boom, boom. And it'll be interesting to see if everything on Ghost Island is going to be some sort of, you know, flip a coin.
Yeah. And I mean, that's my argument for why I liked the Loved Ones challenge last season, was like, it's boom, boom. You know,
but it wasn't boom, boom. I mean,
I feel like it goes a lot better. I believe that's just a single boom, to be perfectly fair. You know, that challenge goes for a little while, but if it had been like a big full blown challenge, it's going to eat a whole lot more of episode than it ended up doing.
Let's not relitigate the black and white challenge today.
Sure. Fair enough. I just thought it was kind of interesting at the time, knowing what was coming up with Jacob's thing.
And it turns out even the top three most triggering things in Survivor 35.
No, not even close. Definitely not even close.
Now, Josh, you were on the beach also for the first challenge that opened the show, correct?
The marooning, yeah, I was there for that.
Okay, so from your vantage point, were you able to get a sense of how close the puzzles were when we saw Laurel and Desiree competing and then Chris ultimately pulled the plug?
Chris made the right call for sure. Laurel was going to win that. Laurel was like not like right about to win it, but she was going to win if they had eliminated the sand timer and like if and no one had forfeited at that point. Laurel was ahead enough that it looked like she was really going to do it. So I think that there's a lot of things that like you can laugh about with Chris and like, you know, question about Chris. But in terms of that decision specifically, I think the noble one made the right call. One thing that was interesting from the marooning that didn't make it onto the show is because I know a lot of people are like, oh, no, you don't want to volunteer to be the leader. That's not something that you want to do. Like Chris Noble was great with being the leader, had no qualms about that, was delighted to be selected as Naviti's leader. There was a lot of back and forth arguments about who should be the leader on Malolo. There were some who wanted it to be James. There were some who wanted it to be Brendan. Neither Brendan nor James particularly wanted the gig. And it came down to a game of rock, paper, scissors. And Brendan was the winner, a.k.a. the loser, who went ahead to become the leader of that challenge.
Yeah, I think that might have been an ominous start for the tribe where they have to draw to see who is going to have to be the leader. You sort of don't want that from the person who is going that you're going to follow into the pits of hell of like, oh, well, I lost rock, paper, scissors, so I guess I'm your leader.
Yeah, it's not great for like tribe morale, probably. Yeah, even though they end up winning that challenge. But in terms of like tribe cohesiveness, maybe that's a little bit of a warning sign of where things could be going there. But at the same time, no one wants to volunteer to be the leader. It's just not something you want to do. But I think you also have to go with the flow a little bit. And I think Brendan made the most out of it, given it was obviously something he did not necessarily want.
Yeah. And going back to Chris's decision, I also sense that he made the right decision because other than Dominic raising his hand and saying he felt like they did not make the right decision, it didn't seem like it was a thing. Whereas if it looked like it was neck and neck or it looked like Desiree was going to pull it out and then ultimately complete the puzzle, I think that there would have been some more complaining from that group of like, oh my God, what was Chris thinking? We had this.
I still can't believe Dominic raised his hand. That's just like such a really outside the box, on the edge of the cliff type of thing to do. Like why you volunteer that to be your position on the matter? I don't know. Maybe Dominic thinking that like I outwardly project villain, like I outwardly project somebody who is untrustworthy, and he wants to balance that out with this I'm a truth teller narrative. Mm-hmm. But I remember seeing that happen, I was like, no, don't do that. Why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. Rein it in, Dominic.
Maybe was he trying to already try to undermine Chris as a leader in terms of that, okay, he would have made a different choice. So this is like sort of like beginning a campaign against Chris. Maybe that's what he's thinking.
Yeah, I think for Dominic, for me, it's pretty clear that this was a guy who didn't want to play any kind of like slow game. He wants to play a fast game. He wants to play an innovative game. He wants to play outside the box. He wants to, you know, he wants to find, as he said it, a bag of tricks that he could credit to Tony. You know, he really wanted to go out there and I think be that guy who gets creative with how to play. He talks to me about how he wants to get his hands on some of these immunity idols and some of these advantages and stuff to figure out like new innovative ways of implementing that. And so I think with that spirit in mind, you know, maybe some of like that would be a really outside the box idea of like that early on in that moment, you already know that you want to be undermining the person who the tribe has selected as the leader. But I think that ethos could explain that move, that idea of like, I kind of just want to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Okay, so we did see Dominic pull off something that was very unorthodox in this episode, where he finds the idol, he finds Andrea's idol from Survivor Karamoan, but then when Chris is questioning him about whether or not he has an idol, he eventually ends up showing him a fake idol wrapped in a real note. Josh, what was your take on this as somebody who has seen every idol play there's ever been? What was your reaction to this?
I thought it was fun. I thought it was great. I'm excited about it. I thought it was also cool because it was like a tale of two fake idols, where Jacob is making his and Dominic is making his on the other tribe, and Dominic is the one that has the idol note with it, and Jacob is the one who doesn't have that. So just in terms of storytelling, I thought that this was incredibly fun. In terms of what Dominic plan is or was in terms of showing Chris the fake idol, I'm not so hard on it in the way that I think a lot of people have been, kind of like, that's such a dumb move. I think that it's got to bear out. Like, you got to see like where it's going. I think that he could imagine, you know, the thing that I could imagine is like, he's going to be like, all right, you're in danger tonight. You got to play this. Or I'm not going to be able to properly credit it, but there was some Reddit thread in the days after the episode with like a really clever idea for how Dominic could play his fake idol in front of Probst to like gauge the reaction of the people, like, should he be playing an idol or not, like, look back at the people who've just voted and see, and then kind of like move accordingly from there. So I don't know. I think that there's some outside the box ways that this could be played. Like, to me, this feels very TBD in terms of what the next steps are. But just as a TV moment, you know, I really enjoyed it as a TV moment. Like, this was such a loaded episode. Like, this 2-hour premiere was just so action packed with like moment after moment after moment, that it was almost hard to keep track on that first viewing. I've had to go back and watch it a couple of times. And it just, I don't know. It's very fun. I just love how it played. And as long as it's exciting, as long as it's great like that, I'm just, as a viewer, I'm satisfied.
Okay, talk to me about something underrated, something that you haven't heard a lot of chatter about between the podcasts, or things that haven't been written about a bunch that went unnoticed from the premiere.
An underrated moment. Well, I gotta shout out my winner pick here. The great Kellyanne is who I went with.
Kellyanne is good.
Yeah, Kellyanne's great. She had this incredible back and forth with Probst at the marooning that didn't make the show, that I wish I'd written it down. I don't have it in my notes. I was like scrambling to find it and I couldn't find what it was. But I remember there being just like this hilarious exchange between the two of them that like instantly is like, okay, she's going to be television gold. That was a really funny moment. Maybe one of the players who's listening to this can chime in if they have better recollection or better recall on what exactly happened. But Kellyanne just like kicked the crap out of that puzzle in that first episode, in that first immunity challenge. Like, she was like, she really just like commanded the situation, was telling everyone exactly, you know, this goes there, that goes here, you know, really like Han and Chewie-ing it. And it was amazing. Like, you see Dominic standing on top of the puzzle, and Gordon Holmes has this incredible photo of that moment. If you have not checked that out on his Instagram, it's so great.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's great. It's epic. But in like my memory of like leaving Fiji, for whatever reason, like my memory was like Kellyanne on top of the puzzle, like just like hooting and hollering. And of course she was doing that on the sidelines. But to me, I think I probably confused it because she just like, she controlled that challenge. Like, that challenge was very much won, just by like the way that she was leading the situation, clearly understood the puzzle. So just got to give some credit to my winner pick. I'm very excited with, Kellyanne is the first confessional of the season. I'm feeling positive. I'm feeling good. She's your winner pick as well, right?
Yes. Now, this has never happened before in all the time that we've been podcasting together and talking about Survivor, going on what this is, season 12 or 13 that we've been talking about this show, that we've never had the same winner pick.
I think that's right. I think that this is a first. So we're doomed, right? Like, it's like, there's no way this is going to work out.
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe this is the secret.
Oh, my God. Well, if that happens, then we'll have to split some of our Reese's Pieces with Kellyanne, assuming she's not allergic or averse to peanut butter.
Yes. And if that's the case, we should have never picked her to begin with.
Yeah.
Kidding. Yeah. Kidding. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I thought she was really great. So I'm very excited to see where things go from there.
All right. let's pivot a little bit more into talking about stuff pertaining to First One Out, which does have to do with the Survivor premiere. But if you are a very First One Out averse, also, we will mark this time. Well, you're hearing it now, but this time, I'll record this time right now in the show notes. And Josh, so I just would like to sort of talk about your interviews with Stephanie and Jacob from the premiere. So it was a little unclear to me in terms of when you spoke to them, but you talked to them both right after the episode?
Yeah. So, you know, my preference is always, like, if I ever get to do this again, like, my preference is always to speak with the First One Out at Ponderosa after they've been voted out, the morning after they've been voted out. But when I was out there for Ghost Island, you know, originally the idea for these podcasts that I was doing on location for 35 and 36 were different. They weren't the same idea. Like, the idea for 35 was going to be an exploration of the first person voted out, and the interviews for 36 were, or the experience for 36 rather, was going to be Ghost Zero. Like, that I knew, like, I was going to turn my experience on Ghost Island into a podcast. We were not able to talk to Miss Gonzalez at Ponderosa for reasons for season 36, so I didn't have that interview. And originally, like, this was all, like, going to be under the umbrella of a name called Outcast, is what the podcasts were going to be, which is why the first chapter in the first one is called Outcast. And then it became First One Out. And then that was done, and I knew I was going to do a Ghost Zero podcast, but I didn't think I was going to do a First One Out podcast because I didn't have that Ponderosa interview, and it just didn't feel like it was going to fit. But the more I listened to those interviews, when I started doing the work to just, like, prep the preseason, it felt like I could turn this into a First One Out. It felt like I could fit this under that umbrella, as long as I could get interviews with Stephanie, with Gonzalez, and I wanted to get an interview with Jacob as well, knowing that he was Ghost One. I didn't know that he was going to be the second person voted out of the show at that point, that I was hoping to line something up with Jacob. And the Gonzalez one was very easy to arrange, that was going to be doable. The Jacob thing was a little shakier at first, and then once that got locked in, because it was going to be a 2-hour premiere and the first two people voted out were going to be made known at that point, I was then given permission to talk to the second one out, who ended up being Jacob. So it kind of all coalesced, like, it all kind of came together where, like, I would be able to have an interview with the first one out, who's Stephanie Gonzalez. I will be able to have an interview with the first one out to Ghost Island, who is Jacob Derwin, who also happens to be the second one out. So those interviews were done the night of the premiere. I spoke to them, like, right after the premiere aired. So, like, it wasn't like Ponderosa raw, but it was a different kind of raw, where, like, they were both reacting to having finally seen their experience on screen, like, seconds after it had happened, pretty much. And I was, like, very worried about how it was all going to come out, like, all season long, all preseason long. It's like, I really hope that this comes together. I was very worried about the audio quality, and there were some issues with the Jacob call that that the great Taryn Armstrong, who's so incredible, was able to fix up. But I was worried about, like, the content, that it wouldn't, like, you know, pack enough of a punch. But I actually ended up thinking that they were both really vulnerable and true about their experiences. And that ended up being a real pleasant surprise to me in terms of the way that the final episode of Foo came together. But that's how Ghost Zero, which was originally going to be just Ghost Zero, became a First One Out.
All very well done in terms of your conversation with both Jacob and Stephanie from First One Out. How about the decision to go and be the First One Out? How was that received by the other people that you were there with, like Dalton and Gordon and Erin and people that were there with you? Did they know where you were going?
Yeah, they knew where I was going, and they were all hilarious and supportive, and, like, gave me shit in terms of, like, you know, I hope you do well out there. They can attest to the fact that I was very anxious all day leading up to going out there. I was really, really scared, very frightened about the experience ahead. But they were all really kind about it. I had heard about what Ghost Island, that I heard that Ghost Island was going to be a thing while I was out on 35. Like, it was just something that you were able to kind of suss out. And it's always been, you know, a desire of mine to get to have like that kind of overnight experience, that survival experience. You know, I'm never going to play Survivor, nor would I ever want to, frankly, at this point. But as somebody who is a huge fan of the show and somebody who, when he was a much younger viewer of the show, definitely really wanted to play the game, there is this like real thirst to try it out. So I put it out there. It's like, I don't know if that's something that's even possible, if that's on the table, if I could do any kind of overnight out there and do it as a podcast, but I'd really love to do that. And the powers that be, the Survivor gods, were very kind in putting that really incredible, unforgettable experience together for me. So just one of the best nights of my life, without question.
Oh, so it was a positive.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Oh, my God, it was incredible. It's for me, like, I had nothing on the line in terms of, like, there was no, like, monetary prize. There was no, like, I was going to do one night of it, and then I was going to come home. Like, you know, it was going to be a 14-hour Survivor experience. But, like, that's 14 hours that I'm going to have that, you know, so many people would dream about having for themselves. So I was so excited about it the whole time. And, like, being out there and just, like, surrounded by the torch snuffers were so incredible, and all of these different shrines, just kind of getting to stomp around there and being like this unspoken footnote in Survivor history that I was getting to like just kind of like stink up the place before the actual people got out there was super cool. It was incredibly cool. And even so, the fire thing didn't work out, but even though that didn't work out, like just the process of doing it and being out there and hacking into coconuts and sleeping underneath the snuffers on the bed, it was just all so fantastic. So there's a lot of like audio B-roll on the floor of me talking about how like, this is so much fun, I'm having such a good time, because it doesn't like fit as well with where we wanted to take things. But I had such a great time out there the entire time. It was spectacular. I was definitely severely bummed that I couldn't get the fire going. But I don't know. I don't take that stuff terribly seriously. So it was pretty easy to be in a good mood after that.
And how was the weather that night?
Not great.
Not great.
It was better than it was during the day. During the day, it was starting to really pour. Like it was going to be crystal blue skies and sunshine all week long. And then we got out there. The day came rather of my trip to Ghost Island, and it just started storming, and it was so windy, and it was. I was like, oh my God, like I can't back out. Like I gotta go. And I was deeply terrified. Like that was the biggest reason why I was so scared, was just the weather was looking really, really, really bad. And mercifully the rain stopped shortly before my way out to Ghost Island. Like it was maybe misting a little bit on the boat ride, but pretty quickly it stopped. It was very windy the entire time I was there. You didn't really feel it that badly where I was building the fire, which was right by the shelter. Otherwise, like, you know, it was a little cold. It was cold at night, but other than that, it was fine. If it had really been pouring, I think that's when I would have been really, really miserable. I was also worried, just like on a practical level, of like, I hope it doesn't rain because I don't want my microphone to get destroyed.
Right.
So,
right.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Survivor gods were watching. Josh, speaking of the Survivor gods, that, I mean, we're on Survivor 36, that every single Survivor opening, in my mind at least, has begun on a day with pretty good weather. Do you think, is that the Survivor gods at work, or is production not going to start the game and do the opening of day one if the weather is looking bad?
Well, I think that Millennials Gen X wasn't that kind of crappy.
I think it was crappy, but I don't remember them starting the game in the rain or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it was like drizzling. I know that, like, you know, certainly the storm hit them in Millennials Gen X, and there was the evacuation that had to occur as a result. Mm-hmm. But I you know, I've heard that like the rain was actually a pretty big issue in the days leading up to the game as well. And I think it looks pretty crummy on that first day. But there have been not a lot of those that I can think of in terms of just like really trash days. I'm now thinking of like the start of Australian Survivor season 2. That was pretty, yeah. I don't know if the Survivor gods were watching out over our friends in Australia.
Yeah. Okay. So something to watch out for as we continue moving forward in Survivor history. So, Josh, I think a lot of people who listen to First One Out all the way through, and again, last chance to get out if you're concerned about a First One Out spoiler, were very interested to know about your process in terms of the epic epilogue of First One Out.
Right. So, yeah, so I'm trying to think of where it begins, like where it comes from. So again, like I knew that I was going to do something with Ghost Zero, and like my original idea for the podcast that I was going to do from this preseason was like, I wanted to do like Survivor, the movie, the podcast was like the idea of what I wanted to put together. And it was going to be like some sort of like 2.5 hour podcast that kind of summed up the preseason and what Ghost Island is and gave you a taste of who the players were. And then it would culminate in the Ghost Island experience I had. And I was trying to figure out like how I would end that. And I figured like for a very long time that it would just be like very close to like very authentically just the experience that I had out there where you sucked that day, you know, where, you know, there was no fire to be had. And then there would just be like kind of like the sad clown ending of like one bad decision will haunt you forever. And I do think that that's where like some of like the why I was able to kind of like be happy even that night was like at least I'm experiencing, I think, what it feels like to like be frustrated with the fact that you didn't do what you were out there to do. So at least I felt like I got a real taste of what the theme of the season is like. So that was like, that's what I told myself anyway to like make myself feel better. But I didn't have like the idea for the epilogue in mind. I wanted to include previous Survivor players in the podcast somehow, but I was never really sure how best to do that. Obviously Zeke was involved in like teaching me how to make fire, so he would be involved. But like one of the things that I loved about the first one out so much was like the first thing you hear is Sonya Christopher for like the first time in so long, the very first one out ever. And like I wanted to like find some way to kind of get close at least to that feeling of, at least for me, and I think for based on the feedback that I'd gotten to that, was like this delight of like this surprise of hearing from someone you didn't expect to hear from. But I couldn't like find like a natural way to do that for this. The other thing too is like I knew, you know, just it's from like a practical production level in terms of putting the podcast together, you know, you need to get the right audio ingredients in place. And the music is such a big one for me in terms of these podcasts is I really want to make sure that there's like kind of like this distinct, unique hook. And it was a really exciting prospect for me to be doing some work with my brother, who's an incredible musician. And we were working together on like some sound ideas in early January, once I had decided that this was going to be not just Ghost Zero, but it was going to be First One Out Ghost Zero. And it was still like kind of coming together at that moment in time of like, how is this going to arc out? How is this going to go? And he, you know, had that like, you know, that noise that we call ghost drops that you hear in the podcast. This like little, I couldn't even do an impression of it, like this like funky little ethereal raindrop sound that is that you know has been described as like very Stranger Thingsy by a lot of people who've reacted to the podcast. And I heard that and I just thought about like having the first thing that you hear being like the waves crashing on the shore of Ghost Island and these, you know, the flint striker noise kind of like starting to like sort of like tease that there is going to be something happening out there on Ghost Island in terms of the experience of this podcast. And as I was like loosely editing this together, and then I was going to have it slam right into that music that my brother had created. And in hearing that like first minute that you hear in the podcast, to me, just like the flint striker sounded like skeletons. Like it just sounded like bones scraping up against each other. And I couldn't get this image out of my head of like a bunch of Survivor skeletons doing the meke on the beach.
You're obsessed with the meke.
of doing like this horrible haunted dance out on Ghost Island. And so it was born there that I was like, oh, what if I do some sort of like really funky, like, you know, sort of trippy, you know, trip through Ghost Island as like the final thing that you hear in the podcast. So the epilogue was born there in terms of this idea of like there was going to be some sort of like, I don't know, like some sort of like fictional nightmare that was going to have to be lived through. And then the next thing that I had to figure out was like, well, what would the ending of that be? Like, it can't just like be a bit for the sake of being a bit. Like, for me, like, it felt like it had to have a point. And what I came up with was like, okay, so I didn't make fire out on Ghost Island, but I made fire before I got to Ghost Island. I can make fire after Ghost Island. Like, just because you sucked out there doesn't mean you have to suck forever. So I set out to do that, and I recorded that on January 27th, a couple of days before we were released the first episode, and was able to do it. And I was like, all right, so we're building towards like a moment of redemption, like some sort of version of redemption. And now we just got to get a bunch of survivors to agree to do some crazy, whacked out bullshit goofiness, and then we're going to be set.
The journey that you ultimately went on, and this was a surprise for me as well. I did not know really anything about what you were working on, other than you said there's going to be some crazy stuff happening in this podcast.
Yeah, I gave you like a warning that like there's a fairly epic epilogue on its way. I think it's really all I told you.
And that was all I knew. And so you started what first, reaching out to people or scripting?
So the first thing that I knew that there had to be somebody who delivered like that Sonya level of surprise, of like really never having expected to hear from this person, certainly not again in this context. And that person for me very quickly became Tony Vlachos, who we have not really heard much of anything from since he got voted out of Game Changers. I think really the only thing we've heard aside from him being in the finale is him on Twitter congratulating Officer Sarah for her win. And otherwise, he's been off of Twitter. He's been off of social media. And you know me, I love King Tony. I'm Team TV all the way. And I thought it'd be really funny if like I knew that like something was going to have to happen where I would have to escape Ghost Island. I would have to escape the clutches of the ghosts of bad survivor decisions. And there was this tree out there on Ghost Island that reminded me of what you and I in the Evolution of Strategy talked about as the rocket ship tree that Survivor finds Tony finds the Tyler Perry idol at that tree. And I posted a video of it on Instagram the other day of like, while I was out there, I was like, this looks like the place that Tony would find an idol and hide underground. So I had this idea of like, well, what if in this like crazy nightmare scenario, Tony's there and he has a spy bunker and he and his clones have been building all sorts of rockets to get everybody off of Ghost Island. And what if he saves me? What if Tony's my hero? So I reached out to Tony, who I was able, you know, I have a means of communicating with him, or at least
yo,
like I have
up,
like,
Josh,
what's up, Tony? I had like a, you know, like kind of like a roll the dice, like maybe this will work, you know, maybe you'll be able to get in touch with him. And then the next thing would be like, can you convince him at all to want to throw his hand in on this? And I was so shocked that it happened so quickly and easily, that Tony was like really on board really fast to do it. And I got all of the recordings from him, you know, very quickly after I sent the lines to him. That was the first writing that I did for the epilogue, was Tony's dialogue. And I sent that to him, and he emailed me back with, I don't have it right in front of me, but I believe the words were, "Holy weirdness, LOL, I will do it, LOL." And then about like, you know, 15, 20 hours later, I had suddenly like this sound suite of ridiculous lines of like dreamlike dialogue as beautifully uttered by Team TV. And once I had
computer,
that,
I'm a computer.
Yeah, I got him to say a line from like the G.I. Joe parodies from like the early 2000s. And it was so funny to me. And once I had that, and once it made me laugh so much, I was like, I don't know if anyone else is going to like this, but I know that I'm loving it. And I have Tony now, and anyone else that I can get is going to be icing on the cake.
Okay. So then what did you do? You started then reaching out to people. Will you do this? And then writing lines, or writing lines and then reaching out to people and saying like, hey, I wrote this amazing part for you. You're going to be in this acid trip that I'm writing. That's going to be a podcast. That's going to be the epilogue to First One Out.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how it worked. I know like there were a few people who I felt like I could reach out to, and I could, you know, I think that they'll be on board. Like either people who had already been listening to the podcast, or people that I know decently well, who would be up for it. So a bunch of them, you know, came together really easily. Like Spencer and I very happily and just like coincidentally had been already texting a little bit before I started solidifying any of this stuff, and he was really game to help out. Probably the one who like had I don't know about, you know, necessarily like questions for me, but like kind of like raised her eyebrows like, okay, if this is what you want, was Kelly Wentworth saying spooky spooky. She was kind of like, what do you need this for?
Spooky spooky.
Yeah, she was.
I think you could almost hear her like with an eyebrow raised in there.
Yes,
like what is this?
Yeah, I think so too. So like she was the one who I think really was kind of like, all right, I mean, if this
will you
is
leave
the
me
Kelly
alone
Wentworth,
if I do this,
yeah, this is the Kelly Wentworth favor that you want to call in. All right, this is the one you could call in.
Yeah.
But a bunch of the other people like I knew would just be on board, and like Zeke I knew would be on board for sure, and Brett I knew would be on board. Ben, I felt like I had a good shot with Ben. Coach was a gamble. I don't want to pull the curtain back too far on how that happened, but Coach voicing the Survivor God, that was really fun once I got that from him. Yeah, and everybody else was just, you know, they were really, really, really kind and gracious enough to do it. And everybody turned their stuff in really, really
my
fast.
Stuff.
Their stuff. Yeah, I think you and I actually were the last ones to record anything, which was obviously the episode of The Ghost of Rob Cesternino's Bad Survivor Decisions as a podcast, which I thought was hysterical. I thought you did such a funny job.
Right. We did that live. You just sent me a script, and then we went off of the script that you sent me, having no idea what the context of any of this is.
Yeah. What did you think was happening? Did you have any, like, I would love to know what was going through your mind. Were you just like, I've worked with Josh long enough to just like trust that he knows what he thinks he's doing?
Yeah, basically. I'm like, look, let me not question it too much, and I'll just like, go along with it. And then, you know, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was hilarious. And there was some stuff in there that was left literally in the script. It says yada, yada, yada to just like kind of have you like the Canvas Ghosts ad read. I think like I set you up for it, but then you just it just says yada, yada, yada. And then you did like a full off the top of your head Canvas people ad read except as Canvas Ghosts. Yeah. Somebody said after the fact, like, why wasn't it Casper? Which is a funny idea that should have been the ad read, but that would have been too straight, I think. But then when you ranted and raved about Tina Wesson's story about the horse, you did that for like a solid 2 minutes straight, unscripted, just completely off the cuff. And I was leaning so far back in my chair with both of my hands covering my mouth because you were killing me. And I was about to burst into laughter and completely destroy the audio. But that was one of the happiest memories of my recent existence.
Well, nobody ever asks me for a rant on something. People always say, please stop ranting. Please don't go on a rant about this. Yeah. It was nice to have carte blanche.
Yeah. Well, I liked the idea of you kind of being an asshole and like kind of being like, you know, like a really rough version of Rob Cesternino, almost
like a bitter ghost.
In my mind of like, you know, if you're the ghost of Rob's Bad Survivor Decisions, you're like your All-Stars era
salty
Rob Cesternino. You're a little salty. Yeah. So that was fun. And that Tina story is actually a deleted scene from the first one out, where she told me that story during our interview. And I was like, it's not like the biggest blockbuster story of all time, but I thought it was a funny anecdote, and I just never knew where to put it, like on any of our podcasts together. And in terms of like writing out the script, once I had people locked in to do it, the script wrote itself in a single day. Like everything just like came out of my stupid idiot brain and onto the page in a matter of, I think probably about like 5 hours of straight writing. And very, like I had to figure out a way out of exit day. Like I had to figure out a way out of the RHAP segment. And suddenly I was like, oh yeah, there's that Tina Horse story. And maybe that'll be a funny little thing to throw in here. And then you get to hear from Tina Wesson again.
Yeah. Now, did you think about at the point where Jacob was going to be Ghost One trying to incorporate more Lost into Ghost Island?
Well, I mean, there's not like there aren't a lot of like direct Lost call outs, but the whole Tony scene to me, and I guess I'm going to spoil Lost, or I'll try to find a way to speak about the scene in a way that won't totally spoil it if you're like you're planning on watching Lost someday. But there's the not Penny's boat scene from Lost where there's this really like very sad moment involving a deeply loved figure in the lore of the show, and it involves like this really emotional goodbye. And I had this incredible suite of music from my brother and his music partner, and we had like Taryn and I had all of the, like, there were basically like two versions of Ghost Drops the song, and we had all of the parts disassembled. So like all of, like the percussion that you're hearing in the podcast and like the synthesizer noises are all elements of that song that are then getting like looped and reused. And one that we don't really introduce until the episode where I'm having the night on Ghost Island is like that little bell sound. But to me, it just like felt so like, it felt so lost. Like it felt like such like a lost thing. And I just had this idea that like, this is such a ridiculous moment of me blasting off of Ghost Island and tearfully, snottily saying goodbye to Tony, who's like not quite sacrificing himself, but is like, I have to stay here. I've got more things to do. And for it to have happened so quickly after Tony is brought into the story, and it's so sudden since he's been gone for so long from our lives to have him leave again so suddenly, I felt like maybe there was a chance that we could have something that was like both ridiculous and stupid as hell, but maybe a little bit emotional as well. So the inspiration for that was super Lost. Like that was the not Penny's boat scene of the episode for me. And I felt like if we could nail that, then we had a win on our side. Like very much like I got Fishback involved after he and I hung out and saw a movie together. And when I was telling him like my idea for the epilogue, I think what I'd said to him was I wanted to marry the tone of the Wand Off with the format of First One Out. Like that was like kind of like the structural idea for the epilogue. It's like literally like in the spirit of the Wand
Did
Off.
Did Steven stop
epilogue.
You and say, what is the Wand Off?
I knew what the Wand Off was.
Say, what is First One Out?
Yeah. He played along at least.
Yeah.
But like the idea was like, you know, even like it's an epilogue. Like if it's like so outside the box and not working for you, ideally you could just shut it off and you're fine. But like it's saved for the end, much like we saved the Wand Off for the end. So tonally, that was
I'll
what
see
I was
you
going
in another
for.
Another life, brother.
It's Desmond. I don't know. Like I had no idea if it would crack anybody else up, but it killed me. It made me laugh so much that I felt like if I'm getting a kick out of it, like just kind of trust yourself and trust that at least the people who tend to laugh at your stupid nonsense are going to get a laugh out of it. And I've been very, very touched by the response. People have been way too kind about it, but it was a total lark to put together. And I'll never forget the first time I heard Taryn having edited it together. Like some of these episodes were harder to string together than others. And there was obviously a lot of moving parts to this one. But in terms of the turnaround, like Taryn had the script and all the audio for this on like, I want to say like a Thursday maybe or a Wednesday. And I had it by Sunday and I was stunned that he had it done so quickly. And it was like, for me, it was perfect on like the first shot. Like we tweaked like one or two things, but you know, the script came out really, really fast, and Taryn's edit on it required very few revisions after it came through. So I can't say enough kind words about how incredible Taryn is and just the job that he did. Like if you enjoyed the epilogue, the lion's share of the credit goes to just how incredible Taryn, how amazingly he edited it all together. It's just, it's such a pleasure to listen to.
Well, Josh, you touched a lot of people with First One Out, especially the epilogue. You moved so many of our listeners that, in fact, I have a special treat for you.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And before we get to the real wand off, we have a special First One Out Ghost Zero inspired wand off.
Oh, God. Now this is a Survivor nightmare. Oh my God. All right. Let's get into it. This is my favorite part of the wand off and the wiggle room now, is that like there are things here that I have no idea are coming my way. So what are we about to do? Okay. What's about to happen?
All right. So we have some songs that they didn't really fit in with the week one wand off, that they're mostly about First One Out stuff. So I figure we'll put them here and then we'll get into the real wand off coming up in a couple of moments. So in the show notes, this is not going to be the part where we start the wand off yet. We are not officially in the wand off.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, this is the
so
ghost
many asterisks
off
on the wiggle room.
Look, we get a lot of feedback.
I know. It's Believe me, it's a ghost.
Yeah, it's a ghost. Okay, all right. So here we go. Here's first up. This is Eric H. He was a wand off finalist, a final wand off entry.
Amazing.
In last season, and he has a song for you, and it is all about First One Out.
Survivor goes out, I'm in, we in it, you already know. Expectations so high to the sky like Jacob's bro. Chris Noble, Loki looks like Wanda's BFF, John Libby, but Libby don't wanna be like hashtag Biggie. Open ceremony, Survivor Olympics, we're going for the effing gold. We Survivor guys, don't let them vote out Kellen Bechtold. Preparing for the challenges, I'ma go out on a James Lim. Maybe we should have a decent strategy and lesson on just how to swim. Sierra's legacy advantage, can Morgan reverse the curse? Wait, it's not a secret, so isn't her situation worse? Someone tell pros, grab this food track, not the fighters, bitch. Wiggle room, Wanda premiere for Survivor, mother
1136. Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that's hot. That's a freaking hot track.
Hot track.
Oh my God, going out on a James Lim. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yes, okay. So, Josh, we have a song. This is from Jordy. Jordy wants to talk about Ghost Zero, maybe. Is he still on Ghost Island?
I can tell you he is. He is. He's there.
I always feel like Ghost Zero's watching me. She's into the sea. Oh, no. I always feel like Ghost Zero's watching me. And it's rocket from Tony.
Oh, it's so good. It's so dumb. It's so great. Oh, it's so good.
Okay. I've got another one for you. That was from Purple Rockwell.
Okay.
This is one, and this was sent in to us by Molly Shock, who...
Oh, Molly!
Yes. She was also very inspired by your trip to Ghost Island, Josh.
Your Ghost Zero, that you're not feeling so smart. You couldn't even make a start of the fire. There's an idol. No, wait, it's just a fucking stick. And no bag of Tony's tricks are gonna hurt. When Ghost Zero comes along to the spooky playground that's gone wrong, almost burned down the whole aisle, and you probably won't survive. So with your skin so soft and pale, no, you came, you tried, you failed, and you'll finally see the truth that goes zero is just W.
That's me. Oh my God, it's me. Oh, Molly, that was beautiful. You're the best. Oh, my God.
Amazing job there by Mariah Carey Hogaboom. One more. I got one more for you, Go Zero.
Oh, my God. Well, let me just really quickly interject to say, so Molly brings up the effing stick in her song. I'll say I did reach out to one person who did not agree to sign on for the epilogue, and that would be I tried to get Jason Siska out of hiding, and that did not happen. That did not happen. That would have been.
Did you reach him, or you were unable to find him?
I reached him. We communicated. There was communication. Yeah.
Is he unhappy with the Ghost Island premise?
I can't imagine that he's loving it. It was a very quick, short, brief interaction where he was not really, you know, he asked me when I would need the things by, and he, it would have been, you know, not a terrible turnaround, but, and I never heard from him again. He ghosted me. Mm. So, yeah, I was gonna pick up a stick to fend off the ghosts in the initial scene.
His response wasn't like, hey, you know what you could do with that stick?
No, he was, you know, he didn't like tell me off or anything, but yeah, it didn't happen. Didn't happen. So that's the only one. That's the only one.
Okay. And then one more. This is from one of our listeners. Her name is Nicole. It's not my wife because I don't think
Nicole Delma.
No, in all fairness, I don't know if my wife listened the first one out, with all due respect.
I would be astonished if she did. I'd be really floored if she did. And I would also strongly advise that she doesn't ever.
I'll keep it off her phone.
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right. Here is Nicole with a ode to you, Go Zero, in your quest for fire on Ghost Island.
Ghost Island's on fire! Ghost Island's on fire! He set it on fire!
Oh my God!
Oh my God, I almost set it on fire. Oh my God. That was one of the worst moments of my life.
Can
I will
you explain
say.
That what happened?
Yeah. So you hear it all happen, but it's hard to like, I don't know if people like were able to like figure out any of it, but basically, so I was gonna give like a tour of Ghost Island at night. I had this hand torch that was like the fire in it was just like whipping around in the wind. It was really kind of dangerous. And then we got to like the entrance of Ghost Island, and now like the winds are just like roaring off of the beach and coming our way, and it kills my hand torch. But there's all these urns at like the entryway of Ghost Island. And so I was, you know, with a shooter producer who is out there. It was really not Future Wiggler, just to burst that bubble. And I was like, can I just like dip this here? And I was like doing it. And he was like, yeah, I don't think that you can. And so I was doing it. All the contents of my hand torch fell out into the urn that was on fire. So all of this highly flammable material inside of the hand torch was now introduced to this already lit urn, and it produced.
Yeah, and then we have a clip
fire.
Of that.
We had this fire that was very immediately frightening. That required about 5 minutes of dedicated handiwork to get under control. But that was horrible. That was like. I've just burned the season's theme to the ground. Like this is a terrible, terrible moment in time, and I hate myself. But made for a funny story.
All right, Josh. So we are going to head into our first official wand off of the season. But before that, let me take a moment and thank this week's sponsor of the wand off. And those are our friends over at Beachbody On Demand.
Wow.
Look, whether or not you're going out to Ghost Island, it's important to try and stay in shape. And Beachbody On Demand is helping you do this. So you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to spend all this money on expensive gym membership fees or procrastinate trying to get there. It's cold outside in the morning. How about you exercise from the comfort of your home, just like I do?
Yeah. No, you're great at that. You're all about the Beachbody On Demand, Rob.
Yeah, no, I've been on fire this year. I've been very dedicated in 2018. That was my New Year's resolution last year, and I've kept with it. And believe me, if it wasn't good, I would have quit this Beachbody On Demand, because I'm believe me that you know that if it put any little bit of resistance in my way, and I'm gonna be out.
Yeah, you're out. Yeah, you're out. You're finished. Yeah,
but Beachbody On Demand, it's a total package to help you become the total package, because they've got something for everybody, whatever your fitness goals are, whether you're trying to lose weight or gain muscle or flexibility. There is a program for you. Pio, P90X, Insanity, 21-Day Fix, T25, 3-Week Yoga Retreat with Vetus. You can do them all from the comfort of your own home on any web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, any other web-enabled device. Plus, your annual subscription is going to be cheaper than any gym membership. Over 600 different workouts are out there, and you don't need a ton of equipment. Give it a try. They've got a great offer for you to check it out. Text the word ROB to 303030. Then you'll get a free trial membership. You'll get full access to the entire platform for free. All the workouts and nutritional information are all there for you for free. Text the word ROB to 303030. And with that, Josh, I think that we should tell people that if they are not interested in hearing what comes next, they should maybe start looking in their podcast feed.
Stop right there. Oh, you want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena. If you need to, you can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the wand off. It's the wand off forever. If you need to, you can straight up leave here. But it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You ought to know right now. Before you go any further, it's the wand off. It'll be here forever.
We're back. Oh my God. Now it feels official. Now it feels like nothing has changed. We haven't missed a beat. Straight into the wand off. And we've got like what? Like 12 weeks of this to go? Unbelievable.
A lot of weeks to go. A lot of weeks to go. And here we are. We are back with the first wand off of the season.
First wand out.
Couldn't be more excited for this. And of course, let's us also congratulate one more time DJ LaBelle Klein. He is not Brett LaBelle. He is not Adam Klein. But he was the winner of the first inaugural wand off, which we crowned during the Survivor offseason. Congratulations to you, sir. So. Yeah. Just like DJ LaBelle Klein, the first ever winner of the wand off, each week we will crown a new winner of the weekly wand off. And for that, they will win a buff, which entitles them to entry into the final wand off of the season, which will be held sometime after the finale of Survivor Ghost Island.
Now, normally we give people a buff into the final wand off of the season, but I felt bad that like there were no stakes, there were no prizes in play for people who were being moved along to the final wand off and even the winner of the final wand off. So I want to change that this year.
Okay.
There's an actual prize in play. So this is what I've thought up. This is what I've got for you. So I believe it or not, I once was the captain of a softball team. Do you know this, Rob? Are you aware of this? Have you never heard this before?
No.
When I was a summer camp counselor, I was the captain of Wiggler's Wombats. Wiggler's Wombats.
That I heard. Wiggler's Wombats.
That was my squad. That was my Bad News Bears. Intentionally picking the kids in camp who didn't really want to be playing softball. They were on my squad. And we never did very well, but we had a lot of heart. Like the song. Like the Damn Yankees tune. So I have hats from the Wiggler's Wombats days. And I just ordered a bunch of new ones. And they're great. If you've seen me on like Instagram or anything, I wear mine with regularity. And this season, if you make it into the final Wandoff, I will send you a Wiggler's Wombats hat. I will deputize you as an official member of the Wombats. I will sign the brim if you want, whatever. I'm happy to do that. And then the final prize of the season is TBD. But even if you just get into the final Wandoff, you get a Wombats hat.
Now, if people want the hat.
If they want the hat. If they don't want the hat, they don't have the hat. But it's a good hat. It's a good hat. I think you'll like the hat.
All right.
Really downplaying the prize right out the gate, Rob.
Maybe people will go. Will you sign the hat? Maybe that'll be
that's
a game changer.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I said I'm happy to sign the hat. Okay. Very happy to sign the hat.
Okay. It's all right. It's very exciting stuff. All right. Let's welcome in for the first time the host of the Wandoff, the late, great Casey Kasem. Casey.
Rob, so happy to be here.
Casey, oh my God, you're back.
Josh, why didn't I get an invitation to be in First One Out?
I didn't have the rights to Casey Kasem's life story or afterlife story, as it were. I couldn't get it from Rob, so he's really the guy you got to take issue with.
Fair enough. And of course, we always like to start with the honorable and dishonorable mentions. So here to get things started is a little number from one of our listeners, Bob in Columbus.
Oh, Wanda. Jinx chokes and cries. Oh, Wanda. Donna the dice. Oh, Wanda. Jacob delight. Oh, I am the one that's alive. Yeah.
The Wandoff is alive. Maybe I'm not, but here we are, ready to go. Thank you so much from our first artist this week, Pearl Islands Jam.
Yes, I love it. Oh my God, the line Donathan Dives is spectacular in the context of that song. It's really great. Really, really great.
Now, the theme of Ghost Island has been somewhat confusing. So here to help us make sense of everything going on, here is Dan Sinensky.
Watch the flashbacks, faded for contrast, so you can get the full story. Don't you forget the mistakes of the past, or the Ghost Island curse will revive. We're relics of Ghost Island, we're a big spooky fright. Legacies, extra votes, and hidden idols. And to be sole survivor, you will have to choose right, or you will be haunted by relics of Ghost Island.
That was a number from the band Survivor.
Yeah, just straight up Survivor. That one writes itself.
Survivor Borneo, whatever you want to do.
Amazing. Oh, that was wonderful.
But from the soundtrack of the film Rocky Reed 3.
Anthony!
Now, Josh, many of our listeners were very preoccupied by the ghost one from this season, and that would be Jacob Derwin. So here with a song to honor Jacob Derwin is Daniel with a song that might be familiar to Jacob Derwin.
His name is Jacob from Malolo. His shoes washed up on the beach. He's out exploring for an idol. Doesn't matter much to me. He made an idol at Ghost Island. But Brandon called him on his line. He said, I will vote out Michael. Instead, he was sent to die.
Oh. Fact check, Jacob Derwin was not sent to die.
No, he's alive. He's alive. He's fine.
Like the wand off, he's still alive.
That's really funny. And if you don't know what that was just now, that was a song parody of a Jacob Derwin original. So that is hysterical. That is very funny.
Did you ask Jacob for a song for First One Out? I know this is not the First One Out section anymore, but did you ask Jacob for the song that you guys used in First One Out?
Yes, that was definitely coordinated. And like originally, like again, like I didn't have like the second one out fully confirmed that I'd be able to have that conversation, and that I didn't think that I'd be able to talk to Jacob. But I figured that at the very least, like if I could incorporate his music, then like kind of like the soul of Jacob would be in there. And then on top of that, we got the interview with him as well. But that was always like what I was hoping to build towards, was like there would be like one of his more somber songs that would launch you into the final episode of First One Out, and then one of his more upbeat songs would close out at least the normal section of the final episode of First One Out.
Honorable dishonorable mention number 4 comes to us from May from Canada, who wanted to talk about the advantage that Jacob got on Ghost Island.
He smashed the first turn, then played a game, it was simple. The lucky one was a gamble, but a risk he was willing to take. Then he screamed, Sierra Dawn, could you do this to me, Sierra Dawn? I don't want your legacy, Sierra Dawn. Now I'm going home for sure. Sierra, Sierra, you win my game, Wanda, Wanda. This is...
Was that by Earth, Bad Wind, and the fire that I couldn't make on Ghost Island?
I had Earth, Wind, and Fire represents life.
That's good, too. It's a little more elegant than what I came up with.
I had longer than 20 seconds. Next up is Graham from the Love You Bay. He, too, wants to talk about that legacy advantage.
She's got it, now it's in her pocket. But Miss Johnson, Stephanie, screw Jacob completely. Here's Wanda, here's Wanda.
Oh, and now Miss Johnson is completely gone. His dreams just flared off into the sun. Bad luck for Ghost Long. Damn you, Sierra.
Do it.
Well, that's the laugh that I almost released when you were doing your bit for the First One Out finale, Rob. Oh my God.
I emailed Graham and said, you killed me with that ending.
I just got a text from my wife. I just got a text from my wife saying, Jesus. she can hear me from the other room. I'm sorry, Emily.
Okay.
Oh, and I'm sorry to anyone whose ears I just shredded. That was incredible. Very funny.
Next up, that's great. Back to Jacob Derwin and what he was up to on the beach as he looked for a hidden immunity idol.
Back at the other beach, it's time for feeding. Malolo tribe doesn't know what they're eating.
Sock rice tasty. It's Jacob's sock rice tasty. It's Jacob's sock rice tasty.
I think I already screwed myself.
That was stupid.
Sock rice tasty. Oh, gross.
That was a number from Vanilla. Turned out to me ice.
That's great. Oh, God. Yeah, the sock rice is one of the worst things. That's just not a great thing. Very, very funny moment in Survivor history. Just a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to have happened. But glad it happened.
Got one from Alec, who wants to talk about Jacob with Stephanie.
Talk to me, Fozzie. You get blindsided. Uh-huh. You kind of went crazy, crazy.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I'll keep on loving you, Jake by the ocean.
Suck it to me, Fozzie. With either Weiss or that fake idol. Uh-oh. You kind of went crazy, crazy. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I'll keep on loving you, Jake by the ocean.
That was Thunder DNCE. And lastly, one more honorable mention this week. It comes to us from Will from America, who is talking about the demise of yet another Survivor superfan.
This guy is the same to me.
Now another superfan is dead, so say goodbye to Jay. Now another superfan is dead, so say goodbye to Jay. Now another superfan is dead, so say goodbye to Jay.
We need a little room to play.
Now another superfan is dead, so say goodbye to Jake! Jake! Jake!
And a great jam by a newcomer to the scene, James Linkin Park.
We struggled with that one in the past.
Oh, spectacular. And really going for it. That's really all I can ask for anybody who is submitting a one of, is just like sing and scream your head off, please. Just really project. That was terrific in that regard. Very good.
All right. Now it's time to get to the top five wand off songs in the country. Our first entry comes to us from the wand off proper, from a returning favorite, Alex G. And Alex G wants to talk about Jacob Derwin.
Somebody once told me Ghost Island's gonna haunt me. I smashed the message inside the Jacob's looking kind of dumb with the fake idol he won in the shape of a shell with a skull head. Well, the days start coming and they don't stop coming. Get to a line and hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to bring the note. Brendan's smart and he leads this boat. So much to do, so much to see. Gonzo's gone, now Jacob does the heat. Water challenge, what's up with those black crows? Jonathan shines and he also blows. Jacob didn't get far, second one gone. He played so hard, like on his guitar. They put the votes on his name. Rough day for Malolo. Hopefully the swap helps their flow. And Jacob Derwin is go. Guess that's what he got for playing with Go.
That was the new hit single by King of Smash Mouth.
I love it. Oh, thanks, Kenny. Very, very good. Really great. Love that song. I have a friend who basically it seems like his sole use of Twitter is to put up polls about different lyrics from All Star. I don't really know how to explain it better than that, but it's really all he does. And
what's
I don't
the handle
really
if
understand.
People want to follow that?
At Steve Sanu. Like, he does other stuff too, but like he will very often just have like a poll about Smash Mouth and All Star, and I don't understand what he's driving at. It's just like this bit he is deeply committed to. I don't know if you're interested in that. He's just
we
my
can
friend
relate.
Steve. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Our next entry into the first wand off of the year comes to us by a pair of newcomers. It's Allie and Gus with a song all about the greatest tribe there ever was.
I got me a girl, goes by Gonzalez. She was almost Esther in a winner pick, you know. They're the first to go. Ex a super fan musician, looks like Fozzie Bear. Thought he should dump the rice in his footwear. Hey, the waves took his shoes away. One, two, three, they vote for Stephanie G, 'cause she's the biggest threat that they're ever gonna meet. One, two, three, the tribe wants Jacob to leave. His only curse reversed is now he gets to eat. Exit Malolos, they're haunted.
right. That was the latest number from LJ King of Smash.
A lot of King of Smash. Oh, my God. Very good. Very, very good. Again, another one that just went for it. Belting it out. Love it. Love the passion. Got to bring the passion.
Number three is another returning Wanda favorite. It's Leah and JD, and they are back with a song all about the Survivor Ghost Island premiere.
Complicated challenge to start the show. Could they solve a slight puzzle? Now we'll never know. Highlander problem to Stephanie's. There can be only one, so Gonzalez leaves.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. This rusty Jacob sock in his dirty, dirty sock.
I wanna really, really, really wanna win the Wanda.
If you wanna win Survivor, you gotta defeat the ghost. Outwit, outplay, outlast them. Take your torch, your bros. If you wanna win the Wanda, you'll hear your toss be strong. But make sure in your email to tell them about the song. Story from Amity.
You wanna win the game, you gotta make all the right moves.
We got Dom and the Math on Zaddy's with the lot. You got Chris and Seabass, they're both kind of an ass on ease. To the challenge, please, James is gonna
and
freeze.
And Jake is fun, but oops, he's done.
He's not gonna win Survivor.
That was the Spice Shack Girls.
Yeah, I'm actually just still blanking on what that is a parody of and who performed that song.
Leah and JD with a reference to the first great Wandoff controversy when they gave us a song that both you, myself, and Zeke all missed on, that thought it maybe was an original song, and lots of Spice Girl fans are in the RHAP audience. So smart move all around by Leah and JD to both tell us the song and to cater to the strong Spice Girls contingent of the Wandoff voting populace.
I literally 2 weeks ago got someone telling me that was Spice Girls. It's like, it's been months. It's been months.
From that Wandoff?
Stop. Yeah. Yes.
Look, it is helpful in the email to tell us the song that you're parodying. If it's not completely obvious.
To the point that it ought to be mandatory, Dan Lembo style, or not Dan Lembo style, like actually mandatory. Tell us who you're working with. Just save us all some grief, please. Please, God. I think I quote tweeted the person who tweeted at me. I said, one bad decision will haunt me forever.
Three Wandoff entries in the books, two still to go. Here is number four this week from a newcomer. His name is Corey, and he's talking about how you get an advantage on Ghost Island.
Game a chance if you want to. You can leave your tribe behind. Cause your tribe didn't win, and when they don't win, they're the best of all time. I say you shouldn't leave here with nothing, your advantage forced away. But if you make a cunning idol, then everyone will bite, or you can live to fight another day. I say give him a chance, everything's under control. Give him a chance, Jacob, you are on a roll. Give him a chance, no paper, but you roll the die. Give him a chance, Malolo's eating stinky rice. It's a game of chance.
Wanda. That was the new hit single from Yao Men Without Hats.
I prefer my Yao Men with hats, but in this case, I'm happy to make an exception.
And number five this week comes to us from a pair who are new to the Wandoff, but not new to longtime listeners who know them from their hits like What Does the Llama Say and Hello, PG. Here is the songwriting duo of Aaron Robertson and Jordan Kalish.
This one might
back many months ago. Not long after filming began, Jacob Derwin lived on Ghost Island, a fine example of a super fan. Jacob Derwin claimed Malolo was the greatest tribe. Jacob Derwin, Stephanie Johnson got him to confide. Jacob's shoes were taken by the ocean before Navidi turned him into Ghost One. He risked a vote, hoping to get an idol. The survivor gods wouldn't give him none. Jacob Derwin gave the legacy advantage to Morgan Rickey. Jacob Derwin, he used to belong to FFSTT. Brendan was the eldest to vote for Jacob. Stephanie Johnson was the next in line. Laurel the patron put his name to parchment. James, Lib, and Jenna brought the total to 5. Jacob Derwin, and at least Wendell still representing the fro. Jacob Derwin, but we're still so sorry to see him go. Jacob Derwin.
That was from the show Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah, I don't know who else is cracking up about that, but when I was a kid, I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat twice. Once playing Jacob, who they are singing about here, and not to brag, but I was Joseph in the other production. Wow. It's really not that big of a deal, kind of big deal at the time. Sort of a really big moment for me, but you know. Anyway, that was funny. That was great. That was very personally hilarious.
And those are the top 5 Wandoff songs in the country. To vote, the tabulator has got it all set up. Just go to robhasawebsite.com/vote Wandoff. You can vote until Friday of this week on the Wandoff.
Oh, my God. We are off to a great start. Somebody is, in 1 week's time, about to get a great hat. I don't care what Rob thinks.
It's an okay hat.
It's a great hat. It's a fantastic hat. It's a really good hat. It's like blue and the font is orange. It's great. It's like Syracuse, kind of. It's good. It's a great hat. Sort of Metsy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I can tell you who's not ever getting a hat.
Who?
I'm on a podcast with him right now. You dink.
Sad.
Gonzalez, if you're listening, you get a hat. So just let me know. You get a hat.
That is not an advantage.
It is an advantage. Back off of my hat. Coming from my wig.
All right. Thank you so much to Casey Kasem back here to host the Wandoff. If you want to send in your entries for the Wandoff, you could do so till around, lunchtime, Pacific time on a Monday. But try to do earlier than that because we try to get a little bit ahead of the game. Let's say Monday morning,
like,
Pacific
if you don't have
time.
It, yeah. Let's say, like, if you don't have it by noon Eastern on Mondays, you're done. There's no chance at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, it's over.
So,
yes.
Sorry about that. All right. So, Josh, we've run the gamut today.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, this is a how many hours are we up to at this point? Like 17 hours on this podcast? Like, I feel like we've been here for a while. Terrific.
Just this podcast?
Yeah, well, many podcasts. Yeah. All told, but
countless.
Very happy to be in the Wiggle Room proper. We're back, baby. That Wandoff was amazing. Full force, full tilt Wandoff right at the jump of this season. I think it's going to be a fun time talking Survivor with you all year long, yeah. Rob.
And just some inside Schmergen brawl that I had said to Josh the other day that I don't think that the Wandoff is going to be that extensive this week. And we said, okay, that's fine. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. But then we got almost just about, I'd say, like 0.9 of the regular amount of Wandoff entries that we get on a normal week for the first week.
That's amazing. Back. It's a great start. Great kickoff for sure. You know, not even like an appearance from Jenny and Colin yet. Like, some of the regulars are still just
people
like,
are still like dusting off the cobwebs.
They're gearing up. They're gearing up. So it's going to be fun. It'll be a great season. I really can't wait.
Should be a lot of fun. Okay. Follow Josh Wigler on Twitter. He is at Round Howard. And of course, be sure to check out everything we're doing on post-show recaps, including our weekly Game of Thrones rewatch. We should be having episode number 3 of season 3 dropping for you there shortly. Of course, you could check that out on THR.com as well. And of course, we have full coverage of The Walking Dead. Josh and I will be recording our feedback show coming up this week. Love The Walking Dead this week, Josh.
Oh my God, Walking Dead was garbage this week.
Yes, loved it. So lots of fun stuff going on there. You like hashtag first wand out?
I think that should be the one. That kind of encompasses it all, doesn't it?
Okay, so be on the lookout for that. And Josh wants me to post the unedited recording that we made for my part of the first one out epilogue. I will try to get that posted in the patron group. We'll see if I can if I can track that down, and we'll try to get that posted for anybody who wants even more of that nonsense.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. And then one more thing, I'd love to close out here and just give like a quick, a huge thanks to my brother and his music partner, Ben Wigler and Nick Campbell, who came up with the music for First One Out. If you liked that, as I did very, very much, we'll close out the podcast here with the full version of the song they cooked up that I think is a really cool song. So thank you so much to those guys. The Sun in the Room is the name of the band. I gotta convince Benji to do a wand off. That would be very spectacular.
It'd be very exciting. So, all right.
Yeah, it's truly a Wiggle Room episode in that case. Double the wiggles.
Stay tuned for that. We got a great week of podcasts coming up. Zeke Smith is going to be here in the studio. He couldn't get Josh to make a fire on Ghost Island, but he will be here with me in the studio. So very excited about that this
awesome.
Week.
That's
and
great.
Then we'll have Simone Nguyen, who will also be a guest. And I think this is the first week that we have double people in for the recap and the voicemail in the studio. Simone is going to be here with me for the week 2 voicemails. Of course, Josh and I will be back to bring back the Wiggle Room next week. All right.
Yeah. I'll be in the same state, but I'm not going to be able to make it to the studio. So that's unfortunate, but at least like everyone's in California for the stuff next week.
Yes. It'll be all California show next week. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Clawing my way to the shelter, I lost myself when I crashed on the shore. I lost myself, I'm a ghost on the island.